He did it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club.
Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp!
Occasion Mourinho on the pitch, followed by Wenger. And it's not often you see this serious an outbreak of disorder in such a big game.
Hello and welcome to Red and Blue, the Arsenal and Chelsea podcast based in Cape Town. Now, we've been away for a few weeks, and if I was a professional, I'd say that's due to scheduling conflicts. But to be honest, we're just bad at planning.
I think we took a sabbatical.
Oh, sabbatical. Okay. We took a sabbatical and we're back.
Yes, why are you shouting?
Because
we're all here.
Because I'm trying to get balls
for energy. For the overseas listeners.
Yeah. So, with me, Andrew Coe, in the studio, I have Chelsea fans Jeremy Westwood and Nick Key.
Yes. Hello.
And Arsenal gooner Richard Bolland.
Hey.
The Arsenal contingent is a little bit sleepy this morning because we had a tough game last night, but we'll get to that a bit later. Mm. Let's chat first through some general football news.
Well, here's some good snippets. There's been some big games lately. There's been the City United derby on the weekend.
Yeah.
Big one. Potentially pivotal. Chelsea specifically needed that to either be a draw or a loss for City.
Mm. Preferably,
United are just so rubbish.
But Smalling...
Smalling?
What a
watch that game?
Yeah, what an idiot.
Highlights.
What? Oh, man. Like...
He pulled a Koscielny.
Dude, that guy. Well, imagine having Koscielny and Smalling as a back two. But did you see that at one point in the game? Because then Rojo also dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah,
that
was... Yeah.
Which I think he's going to be out for I don't know how many weeks now.
Rojo.
But that... they were playing with Carrick in defence. Hmm. Their 19-year-old Paddy McNair...
Eddie
McMahon. Yeah. McMahon more like.
And I think they had like only, I think Luke Shaw was the only recognised defender.
And Daley Blind,
but he's not even a defender. He's like
a midfielder. Oh, really? I thought he was a defender.
No, but who was playing right back?
Rafael?
No, Rafael wasn't even in the squad.
Oh, yeah.
I think he got dropped because he's rubbish.
I'm thinking about our game.
Anyway. I couldn't remember, but I remember the comment.
Maybe they said no one had right back.
Yeah,
oh, it was Valencia.
That's right. Yeah,
so he wasn't a defender
like
either.
He's like a wing guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so United looked like they're in serious trouble with, and
yet they got away without a battering.
Having said that, we're going straight to Chelsea news here. Yeah. Having said that, we still drew with him, which is the most frustrating thing. And also, to draw on such a ridiculous card.
Yeah.
Because it was that card that cost us that goal. Because
Ivanovic, if he'd been on, would have been marking Fellaini.
I didn't watch that game. Was it his fault? Or?
No.
Okay, so he got two yellow cards, both on Di Maria. The first one was, the bias will sound like his bias, but he did the running hand on shoulder, and Di Maria went like a million miles flying.
That's
huge bias. That was the first yellow. Second yellow, Di Maria runs past him, and like there's a clip of the ankles, but not. I don't think Ivanovic saw him.
It didn't look deliberate at all.
Which even in my opinion shouldn't have been a foul. But even if it was a foul, should never have been a yellow card. And even if it had been a yellow card, the ref, knowing he's on a yellow, shouldn't have given that as a second yellow. Because, you do hold second yellows in a bit more weight than...
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, And this is another point, to get onto the card situation in that game. Mm. For a game that had absolutely zero flashpoints, like, when you have games you can tell, geez, something is going to happen, someone's going to go flying in.
Yeah.
It's like, it's quite tense emotionally, like a fight's going to start. In this game, there was none of that. Literally none of that. And yet still, we got seven yellow cards. I don't understand how in games like that, you can get two yellow cards in the whole game. And in a game where nothing happens, the ref can still feel free to give out seven yellows to our team.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit ridiculous.
So that was crazy. But anyway...
Oh, sounds biased.
Well, it does sound biased. It sounds biased towards Bloody Man United, if you're asking me. But So obviously, Ivanovic being sent off then led to a free kick in the 94th minute. And Fellaini was the one who got the head on it, which caused all the trouble. And Ivanovic, and they went back and looked at all the footage, and at every set piece, Ivanovic had been marking Fellaini. So, you can also say, look, we shouldn't have been naive enough to have just dropped that. But we just brought on like our 19-year-old Zuma centre-back.
Yeah.
So you kind of also have to give that. Or Terry should have maybe led that situation a bit better. But still, should never have been a sending off. Should never have been a goal.
Mm.
But we should have put it to bed earlier.
Really should have.
It was our own fault.
Didn't Hazard miss like 6 chances or something in that game?
Yeah, he missed quite a few.
Man. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if you guys have any...
Interestingly, when we played Burnley, I don't think there was a single card in the game.
Was Ateta not playing?
No, he was.
Oh, Koscielny?
No, he's injured.
There you go. Lucky you guys.
I mean, I think... are we still in football news?
No, we can.
We have.
Okay. Oh. Well, let's have a lull at Liverpool. So apparently Brendan Rodgers last night... He didn't play Balotelli or Gerrard.
He made seven changes. 7 changes from
From the weekend. And so obviously he's preparing for Chelsea this coming weekend.
Yeah, I need all the help he can play the year.
But it's like, you know, your club's in a bad position when they just give up on a game before it's even started.
Yeah.
It's like he knew he wasn't going to win, so he got together a second strong team. Obviously Real Madrid probably did the same, seeing that the squad, and it was like, okay, cool, we'll just kind of cruise, and they did 1-0, you know.
Real Madrid's second team is still better than Liverpool's first team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could have, if they had like put on the gas, they probably would have killed them again.
Oh yeah,
yeah, probably wasn't worth it.
But yeah, it's you see Liverpool, and like I really feel they're just a one man team.
Oh jeez,
like
this just goes to prove how much they relied on Suarez.
Yeah,
and Sturridge. I think they've like lost both their main strikers from last season.
Yeah, but I think
Sturridge will be back.
I think that Suarez made Sturridge look better.
Like, yeah, definitely as a partnership. But
so,
but at the moment,
and they who did they lose to on the weekend? Newcastle.
Yeah.
Man, because Newcastle also just...
But they've gone...
They're on a streak, four or five. But before that, they were toilets.
Oh, my gosh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they've had a good set of form, Newcastle, now.
Yeah.
Did you see... I saw online... You may have seen this on the blog. About the... So some Liverpool supporters are planning to fly a banner over Anfield this weekend when we play Liverpool. You know how they always do that when they did it for David Moyes and it was like hashtag Moyes out, right? Now that, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it. You fly a plane over, have a very clear statement, hashtag Moyes out, right? That's it. That's all you need to say. This guy, whoever's doing this, has designed like a banner, right? With Brendan Rodgers' face and then sarcastically written, Brendan Rodgers is a football genius, right? But then in small print underneath lists all the things he's done wrong, right? Like... has spent 215 million or something ridiculous, like has bought all of Southampton and Swansea's players and they all suck or something like that. And then it goes like hashtag Brendan Rodgers out. But if you're looking at a plane, all you're going to see is Brendan Rodgers is a football genius.
Yeah.
So it's a completely like completely backwards thing. What an
idiot. I hope they fly that.
I really do. I really, really do.
So Arsenal have had a... Well, I mean, we would have had such... We would have been on great form if it wasn't for last night with the 3-0 draw to Anderlecht. But, I mean, we won 2-0 against Sunderland. We won 3-0 against Burnley. 2 clean sheets. We were on our way to, like, a 3-0 victory against Anderlecht. You know, 3 clean sheets in a row. What's that? 8 goals... That's like pretty impressive form. 8 goals, 3 games, you know?
On a run, you know, where we're coming into some potentially easy games as well. I mean, apart from United, you know, there's Swansea. Dortmund will be interesting because we're playing them at home. West Brom, Southampton, Stoke.
Southampton's not an easy game. Southampton are second in the league.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about like the high pressure, high intense Man City, Chelsea type, Liverpool type games. So it was a chance for... I'm really annoyed about last night, basically.
Yeah.
Because we were watching this game. For the first time, after about 25 minutes, we were up and we were feeling good as Arsenal fans, which is rare. So you hold on to those moments.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, at halftime, we were 2-0 up. Granted, it was... The first goal was Arteta with a penalty. You guys don't know this. The second goal was Sanchez with... He basically... I mean, this guy's on fire.
Sanchez is on fire.
He's on fire. Great form.
So it was a free kick and he belted it into the box, rebounded and before it to him and before it had touched the ground, he just like volleyed it straight into the goal.
Wow.
So that was almost like he set it up. He like hit it into the wall, and then, bounced off the wall and he banged the volley in.
Straight off the training ground.
And then the Ox scored a phenomenal solo goal.
Love the Ox.
Where he just pushed up the left flank and pushed past the... He was pushing past the defender all night. and just slotted it in far right bottom corner.
Mm.
And it was a great game. It was a great game. And then second half comes around, and the Anderlecht defender, I can't remember his name, but he looks like the guy from 300. He said this is Sparta, and he basically what did he do?
Well,
it was a penalty. The first thing was a penalty.
Hole. No. He ran basically this right back kind of carried his run on into the box, and and was about half a meter to a meter offside.
Well offside.
And kind of slotted it in a close range, right? And like, you know, got put in front of the thing. And so, and obviously none of the linesmen saw it or cared.
Did Wenger see it?
Obviously he did. He saw the incident.
Eagle-eyed vision, that guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was absolutely frustrating. But you think okay, 3-0 up, 3-1, not
strong,
that bad.
You know, we could maybe get another.
And then the second goal is they kind of were on the left-hand side, they put it into the box, and Nacho Monreal is stepping in for Laurent Koscielny, and he's as big of a moose as Koscielny. And kind of like Nacho kind of like trips and falls like next to this dude. And this dude decides he's going to fall too and gets the penalty.
Oh, they showed the replay maybe twice from odd angles, and I couldn't see any contact. Like, I didn't see anything there.
Yeah.
But they got the penalty, and Leonidas slotted at home.
Van Bora, I think his name is.
Thank you. Van Boren.
Van Boren.
And then, like, in the last minute, in the 90th minute, they managed to get, which was quite a good
header. Yeah, that was their greatest goal.
That was the only legitimate goal.
In the 90th minute.
It was a good goal, yeah.
It was a very good goal that they did. It was like a big, it was kind of like a cross in from the right. But one of those, they weren't like diagonal, they weren't parallel to the box, they were more like diagonal, you know, close to the halfway line. Pushed it in, cross runner, head onto it, goal time.
Yo.
And by that point, I mean, we'd subbed Arteta, who is now injured, fantastic, sort of thigh strain, I think. Ramsey was having a mare. Santi has left his shooting boots off for the last, I don't know how many matches. He's been, it's like his guidance system is completely off, and he's just shooting everywhere.
Santi.
Cazorla.
Yeah.
I think his hair's got too big, it's putting off balance.
Could be. But anyway, so it was very frustrating.
What's happening with Hector Bellerin?
Oh, that guy. Yeah. What, are you talking about his performance or his hair?
Either one.
His hair is equally as impressive as his performance. So he's a youngster, and he has been forced into the spotlight because of lack of defenders.
I've heard he's rubbish, though.
He's not rubbish. I wouldn't say that.
He's 20 years old or something. Or
he's
maybe
not as good as
younger.
Chambers.
Yeah, geez. Chambers, he scored on the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He scored his first goal. He just kind of poked it home from close range.
Okay.
Sanchez.
So tell me more about Sanchez's run of form. Because I haven't been watching much Arsenal at the moment. I haven't been watching much football because my PVR is broken.
So, Sanchez basically is the quintessential workman who like... He'll work up until the 95th minute. You know, he just cannot stop like hassling defenders all the time. It's like exactly the player we need. It's a bit of a glimpse into, you know, the invincible side where you had these big physical guys who would never give up, who would always hassle, but then who also have the finish of, you know, a young Brazilian.
He's incredible.
It's just amazing to see him. It's like yesterday as well. Last night, I think the ox goal was just because he was hassling the defender and got the ball from. And then the Burnley goals.
No, was it Sunderland?
Was it Sunderland goals?
Sunderland scored
goals.
Two. Yeah,
he scored two goals that were just because he forced errors from defenders.
Oh yeah, the one with the guy kicked it out. Yeah. Oh man, yeah, I saw that.
And he has that kind of clinical, critical hit finish.
Yeah. His finishing is phenomenal, though.
Yeah. He's just been an amazing asset to the side. It feels like, kind of from all the blogs and everything, that he's pulling the team forward at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone else is kind
struggling.
Of a step behind him. And we're hoping that the team will rise to his efforts rather than pulling
down,
him back.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But yeah,
is there any other Arsenal stuff?
He's worth watching.
Is Walcott back?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Walcott made his first run-on in the Burnley game and was already showing some great potential, had a good shot, and a great cross for Podolski, who unleashed Thor's hammer with his left foot.
He almost broke the upright.
So it's worth watching just because he hit that ball so hard. Wow. Yeah, but it's good to have Walcott back. And they gave him a nice reception.
Well, if we want to talk about some of Chelsea, how Chelsea's players have been doing lately. So we, very frustratingly, have had a lull with Costa.
Yep.
So he was injured. We told the Spanish team he's got an injury.
Yeah.
You're playing insignificant games. Please don't play him. If you're going to play him, just play him for a half. So they were basically middle fingered us, and then just said, I just played him for 90 minutes, both games in a week, and then he came back and he was out for 4 games for us, which is very frustrating considering the run of form that he was on.
It's messed up his whole Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to restart now.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, luckily, you know, and then we actually had a bit of a striker crisis at one point because now Costa's out. We only got Costa, Remy, and Drogba. Schürrle's a winger,
striker.
So Remy comes in the first game that Costa's out. Remy comes in. It was Maribor game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I think it was Maribor.
I think it was Maribor. So yeah. Remy comes in for Costa. He's on the pitch for 15 minutes, scores a goal. His first goal. So we're like, sweet, this is great. But in the process of scoring a goal, pulls his hamstring.
Yeah.
Or pulls his thigh muscle or something like that. So he goes off immediately. So we're like, okay, cool. We got down to Drogba now. So Drogba comes on. He ends up scoring in that same game as well, which is great. But actually, you know, we were quite lucky because usually if you bring in your second striker or now your third striker, if we did that last season, it would have been like Demba Ba or something. So being able to bring in Drogba was cool. And he did end up scoring 3 goals in 3 games. He scored in every game he played. So he scored against United. He scored against Maribor. He scored against... I can't remember who the team in between was.
Yeah.
But so we were lucky with that. But the thing is... Oh, Shrewsbury.
Ah, yes, Shrewsbury.
So
Strawberry.
Strawberry. I think I'll talk about that now. So, but Drogba is old now. He's not particularly fit. And for him to play a full 90 minutes on a Sunday, and then we've got another game on a Tuesday, that he's got a 1 day's rest in between.
Yeah.
We thought, oh, who are we going to play up front? But he ended up putting Drogba on again, and he scored in that game again. But he can't keep up that kind of pace. So now that Costa's back, but we have to kind of nurse Costa through to the end of the season because he needs surgery on his hammy, but it's going to be 6 weeks out. So we can't afford to have that in the middle of the season. We're just going to try and have to nurse him as best we can until the end of the season when he can have the surgery. But having said that, he's back now. Which is positive. Could
hopefully spang them in again soon.
Yeah, and even seeing him back against QPR on Sunday, just that guy adds such an incredible element to the team. The way that he can keep 2 defenders occupied by himself, which then opens up so much space for Hazard. And Hazard has been playing the best football I've ever seen from any Chelsea player ever at the moment. He is absolutely incredible. But you almost get used to it. Like, you almost get so used to just watching him dance through 4 players that it's just mental. And Fabregas as well. I hate to mention that in front of you guys, but I mean, leading assists in the league.
Yeah.
That little layoff for Oscar's goal. Did you guys see Oscar's goal by any chance against QPR?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
Castle. Yeah, I hit it.
I don't know how he got that in. People are saying it's like a goal of the season contender. Not for me, but I don't think it's that. That
was great technique.
It's just really, really good technique. Yeah. So, but if you didn't, did you see it, Kerr?
No, I didn't.
Just laid off. He was at about a 45 degree angle to the. Well, actually, a bit tighter even to the baseline.
30 degrees.
And just
edge of the box.
On the first time, just first timed it with the outside of his foot and curled it around the keeper, hit the post and went in. It was just a really good technique. Yeah. But layoff from Fabregas, really good work from Fabregas actually. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really, really good. And the funny thing is, as well, is we had do you want to tell the story?
The Hazard one.
Yeah.
So we played Shrewsbury. Last week, Tuesday.
Why were you playing then?
Capital One Cup.
Oh, right.
Are you guys still in it?
Shut up.
Okay, cool.
Didn't know.
Just streamlining your fixture schedule.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we played them, and then but later. I think after the QPR game
something in training or post-match something.
Yeah, somewhere someone was interviewing Hazard and asked him about kind of how things were going and the form and things. and he ended up calling Shrewsbury Strawberry.
Yeah, he said, no, I was on the bench against Strawberry? Shrewsbury. Oh, yeah, Shrewsbury.
But then the great thing was that Shrewsbury, in a tweet later, like, called themselves Strawberry as well.
They said, happy birthday to Strawberry midfielder. Yeah. It was really funny. So
that's cool. Pretty great.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Well, there was some contention with Podolski and Tottenham. Did you read this?
No. These tweets? I don't know anything.
Oh, okay.
Hashtag aha.
Yeah.
What, did he?
I'm going to mess this up, but basically, I think one of the Tottenham's, I think the Tottenham site or something, retweeted like a rumour saying Podolski wants to leave and was going to go to Tottenham or something. And Podolski just set the record straight on Twitter. It's like, there is no ways I'm going to Tottenham.
That is so great.
You can find the tweet, but anyway,
I saw a quote. It was last season, I think, and I don't know if it was actually a quote or not, but it was quite entertaining. It looked legitimate when I came across it, but I can't remember from Angel Di Maria, where he had been linked with Tottenham.
Yeah,
and then the quote was, he was asked about it, and he said, "Oh, you know, you have a good season, and then you link with Tottenham." Like, what is that? So disappointing.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I think he said, so disappointing. You have a good season, and you linked with Tottenham.
Hush.
Oh, my word. Jake is going to hate that. Yeah. But, I mean, it must be said that Tottenham, like, at one point were looking like, if they just crack on, they could break into the top four. They had that one season where they were just doing so well. Probably the season actually where we beat them to the Champions League when we won it.
Yeah,
and finished sixth. So they didn't even end up making out. Yeah. But it just seems like Tottenham always get the worst end of the stick. Like in the Willian deal as well, when we just had the medical at Tottenham and we were like, nope. Thanks for doing the medical for us. Like, we're going to sign him. Like that kind of thing, you know, just always seems like Tottenham just gets the raw end of the deal. And like, and they've bought all those players with the money from Bale, and none of them have really fired. I think Lamela's coming into his own a little bit now, but
Soldado is like the big update.
Soldado, man.
But who scored that goal? What do you call it? With the foot?
That was Lamela, the Rabona.
Oh my gosh.
How insane was that goal?
Did you see that ball?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that doesn't win you anything.
Yeah, I know.
But it's
respect.
Just,
some respect.
It wins you respect.
Yeah.
It wins, yeah. Jeez. I saw that goal. I couldn't believe it. I was with Jake at the time. He was showing me he was watching the game through vines. And so I ended up seeing, yo, man, that goal was insane. I don't even know how you do that. I think, yeah, but it's not even the first time he's done that, as far as I've seen. I think I saw a video or something of him doing that in like a couple of years ago.
He practices it.
Yeah, it's like Hazard. He loves that little back foot cross thing.
Yeah.
He's never been cheeky enough to try and shoot like that.
Yeah. From 30
yards. Also, what a finish, though. From outside the box. To even kick it with your normal foot and finish like this. Yeah. Like,
yeah, when I first saw it, I didn't notice the Rabona. I was like, oh, it's a great finish.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. And then I was like, what? That's mad.
I think the keeper was just like, I'm not even going to try. I mean, because, I mean, if that doesn't go in, man. He's like, well done, sir. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this.
What's the reason for it called the Rabona?
I have no idea where the name comes from. It's probably like Brazilian.
Sort of like Ribena. Maybe they give you a Ribena drink afterwards.
Yeah. I think it was because it's actually, it originated in Ireland. It used to be called the Rabona.
That's recorded.
Yeah, I'm so bleak of myself.
Okay, let's move on to the stats.
Jeremy Statistics Corner. Jeremy Statistics Total Power. That's both of our intros.
Yeah, okay. You can
two
choose.
Intros. That's
that's how much. Set them loves, both.
Well, we can intro with one, outro with the other.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So this week, I thought with Walcott coming back from injury and other things, so I'd have a look at some injury statistics.
Okay.
So I pulled all the data from a site called physioroom.com.
Wow.
Which
sounds legit.
Which keep track of every single injury in the Premier League. I think they might do other leagues as well, but I was looking at Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what their criteria are for when something's considered an injury. I think it might be if there's like a report, oh, this guy's injured, whether or not it affects a game at all.
Yeah.
And they also they just say, okay, there was this injury. They don't say how long the person was out for, anything like that. So
that would be good information to know, though.
It would be good information to know how long. So we just keep that in mind as we look at the statistics. So I also wanted to look at, because you know everyone talks about Arsenal and says, oh, always so many injuries, so I thought I'd see, is that actually true? And
cry wolf all the time.
What do you think, Buzz?
What do you think? Yeah, what do you think?
With Jeremy's tone there, probably suggests that we don't hold the most, and probably Chelsea do, and now they're bragging
this
right.
This is not
now.
Something that you want to
be. Brag on having the most injuries.
We have the most injuries.
We win the injuries cup.
But it's probably, okay, you also look at squad depth and stuff like that, because...
Arsenal's first reaction is to be super defensive on everything.
Yeah, the 2 foot tackle.
Except actual football.
Yeah.
What is...
Oh my gosh.
Okay, what is the average squad? 25 person
well,
squad?
Yeah, you got 25.
That's not the average squad. That's
limit.
What the squad is.
That's your limit.
Everyone.
Excluding youth
players. But, I mean, I think Arsenal have put forth smaller squads into games.
Okay, but so if we look, but that should actually maybe decrease your injury count then, because you've got less players to get injured.
Not true.
Jeez, this is a debate now.
It's opposite. Anyway, go as the stats.
Debating with stats and Bowers debating with hearsay.
The language is completely made up.
Anyway, so I've got a number of different stats here. I've got, for last season, Arsenal ended with top place in the injury table.
Thank you very much. That's a very good
yes, yes, yes.
Come on.
With 140.
Did it.
The ball is just... Oh, Arsenal. We always... Yes, you do. Just give us a chance to say it. That's
so... I predicted it. I was very good. Throw away the stats.
yeah, you win the injuries round.
With 114 injuries.
Wow.
In the season.
What?
I mean, that's even small niggles, though.
That is, it counts small niggles and things. So a broken leg and a small niggle, like, each count as one here. I thought about adding some ranking system, but I didn't have time.
Yeah.
Followed by Man United with 102.
Wow.
Tottenham with 83. Down Chelsea, where we were sitting in 12th place with only 57.
Man.
And at the bottom, Crystal Palace with only 38 injuries.
Wow.
Where was Man City?
Man City were in 5th place, 68 injuries.
So high.
That shows you it doesn't really...
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so then if we look at... Then I looked at over...
No, it does, because you said Chelsea had 57, and we had 100 and...
14.
114.
That's double.
Literally double.
Yeah.
So
it I've used basic math.
It does make a difference.
Exactly double.
Yeah.
But Crystal Palace...
38.
Sucked a lot.
Yeah, but they just suck.
Yeah.
So.
Squad yeah, down. Well, probably it's probably due to their style of football. Like, like I think... Mm. I think Arsenal obviously play the most aggressive, high-paced football. and so that's why we're quite injury-prone, you know? We battle to the last minute, and maybe the muscles are fatigued, and we shouldn't be, but...
If only other teams did that. Any other teams also played. Well,
anyway. So then what I did was I looked over... They have data from 2002 till the present. So I looked over all those seasons and the average... I made a league table for each season.
Wow.
And then average people's positions. And you'll never guess who came out top with an average position of second over all those seasons was the Arsenal.
Oh, wow.
With an average of 68 injuries a season.
Wow.
Who was first?
Was
the worst.
Arsenal were first in the overall, but on average they come in the second every season.
Oh, right.
So they're always near the top, basically.
You can't even win that.
You are winning. You won the most.
But
basically.
Who averaged first then?
So no
you guys. I see what you mean.
Your average position over the last 12 seasons is second.
Almost
place.
Like every year you would finish. Well, so, average second highest injury.
So maybe United finished first the one season, but then the next three they finished like 10th.
Yeah.
So you guys by far and away over the last 12 years.
So on average,
injuries.
On average 68 injuries, followed by Man United with 61. Chelsea, we're down in about 7th place with 48.
Wow.
Watford at the bottom with 21, but they probably didn't have very many seasons.
No.
So what I find interesting is that most of your top teams, Arsenal, Man United, Tottenham, Chelsea, are all quite near the top. Man City are lower down, and Liverpool, but I assume that's because they haven't been playing Champions League or European football a lot. Because I think that you probably get more injuries in the top teams because of the fixture schedule, playing more games. Because I was surprised. I kind of expected it to be the other way around. You know, the clubs with more money, better physios, better players, all of that. I don't know how better players make
better
a difference.
Less injury prone.
But anyway, so that was quite interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So then I thought, well, let's look at actual players.
Okay.
Like, which players get a lot of injuries?
Oh, wow. Diaby.
So, yes. So the problem with Diaby is that he gets very long-term injuries.
It
only counts as one.
Yeah, why can't he get more?
Letting us down every time.
So, who do you think the most injured player over the last 12 years of the Premier League is?
RVP.
Yeah. I would have said the same.
Okay, he's not. He's down in about 10th place.
Can you give us what
it's someone
from?
Who's still playing? Man United.
Oh man, is it Carrick?
No.
Who had that bowel issue?
Bowel issue.
Someone had a chronic bowel syndrome or something. Like, couldn't they kept like having to not play games? I'm sure it was Carrick, man.
If you counted going bald as an injury, it'd be even higher.
Really? Yeah.
So he's had 61 injuries since he started playing in the Premier League. And I think that's just because he's been playing for a long time.
It also doesn't seem like he's been really missed. There haven't really been significant injuries that I can remember him ever having.
Anyway, so the top Chelsea player is Ashley Cole with 46.
Wow. Top Arsenal player then as well.
Yeah, actually, because that'll count both. Yeah. And then John Terry.
Did he get better when he moved to Chelsea?
I should actually check that.
That'd be interesting. We obviously it's going to sound like a brag, but I think we are widely known as having a particularly good medical team throughout Europe. We've got one of the best medical centres in Europe.
We have a terrible medical team. We seem to butcher our players worse when they come off the field.
Anyway,
he pulled his hamstring and now he's broken his knee on the medical table.
So then to get into a bit more detail, because this doesn't actually help you, because like Rooney's got 61 injuries, but you know he's been playing for a lot longer than a lot of other people. Yeah. So I looked at, then I divided it by the number of seasons that you've been involved in. And I think then let's just look at the Arsenal and Chelsea. So then who do you think came top as injuries per season?
Well, I'm just going to say Arsenal.
You're never going to guess. But I don't know about it. I didn't actually look it up.
Wenger.
Well, it'd definitely be Arsenal in that sense.
Yeah.
But in terms of player.
Frimpong.
Oh, I see. In terms of player.
And I think I have to have played for two seasons or more.
Jack Wilshere? He's injured.
No. Someone from an ex-Chelsea.
Oh.
Ooh.
Fabric. Oh, ex-Chelsea. What?
Left in end of the season, end of last season, I mean.
Lampard. Torres!
No.
Lampard.
No. And they were going to get it. David Luiz.
David
Luiz. Six injuries a season.
Wow.
Six
injuries a season.
Yep.
That guy.
Followed by Freddie Ljungberg with 5. Patrick Vieira with 4. A whole bunch of people on 4. Nasri, Robin, Bergkamp, Koscielny for Marlon. So interestingly, Theo Walcott has had 42 injuries over his time.
Wow.
And Diaby's had fewer, but I think as we said, it's probably because he has longer term injuries.
Yeah.
If we could find stats on how long they're out for, that would be
so. Walcott gets like 4 injuries in the space of Diaby's 1.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah,
that was really interesting.
There we go.
Thanks.
The quiz.
It's time for the quiz, and this week's quiz. We're continuing with our run of last season's Premier League table, and it's Chelsea.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! Now, obviously, it's very unfair for Bowl having two Chelsea fans here. So I've tried to find the hardest and most obscure Chelsea facts
that
I could.
To make it harder for Bowl.
To make it harder for everyone.
Okay.
So I'm expecting you to get none of these.
Okay.
But this will really put your Chelsea knowledge to the test. Question one. Bowl.
In 1900, name the starting lineup.
You might get some of these.
Okay.
But just think out of the box. Okay. What is green and regularly chanted by Chelsea fans?
Celery.
No, it is celery. You didn't get that one. And what does it result in?
The goals.
What do you mean, what does it result in?
It is celery, and often it results in fans ritually throwing celery.
Oh, not anymore, because celery has been banned from the stadiums.
It has.
Yep.
Okay, some of these facts might be a bit old. Right, question two. Where is the coldest place Chelsea has played?
Why are you looking at Bowl?
Yeah, I'm really
so desperate. Coldest place.
It must be in
like Moscow.
Russia. Zenit.
No. It's one of the Swedish teams.
Colder.
One of the Swedish teams.
Antarctica. The Arctic.
The Arctic Circle.
Wow.
Really?
Apparently.
Who was that against? Do you know?
I don't know.
Polar Bear United.
Who won?
Preseason tour to preseason tour to like Greenland or something.
Ivanovic won.
Yeah. Okay, question three. How many seats does Samford Bridge have to the nearest seat?
42,752.
42,757. Shut up. 42,912.
No, Jim wins on 41,837.
We constantly get over
42,000. What's going on there? The tennis number is always over 42,000.
So I said,
how old are these facts?
No, they're fine. Okay. Question four. How many claws does the Chelsea emblem's lion have on his feet?
Six.
Three.
It's the right answer. Yes. Oh. Congratulations. And bonus question. Bonus question. Eyes on me.
Yeah.
What is on either side of said lion?
Ooh, a football and a flower.
A poppy.
Don't look, ball.
I can look.
Don't look, ball. There's a football and a flower.
No, you are correct. Nick is correct. Yeah. So. Well done. So I think Nick won that.
Back
two,
on top.
And wait, Jim, you got two. Oh no, so Chelsea, you drew on two.
We'll go as a team.
And Bowl, you got one. I'm
for one.
Yeah.
But you also got one of the most obscure ones.
Yeah.
That was good.
Good thinking.
Yeah. No, that's out of the box thinking. Man.
Well, that's the final whistle. Thanks, guys, for being here. But before we go,
pleasure, Trish.
We're going to do some predictions.
Mm.
So, the Arsenal game coming up is we're playing Swansea at their home. Bold predictions?
I think Swansea have had a dip in form, as far as I know. Like, Sigurdsson is not as prolific as he was a couple of games ago. Mm. I reckon, I think for us, we need to stay on form. I mean, prediction is it's more of a what would you like the score to be?
Well, this is more of an essay than anything.
Do they still have Michu?
No, I don't think so. No. Well,
if they do, I haven't seen anything. He had like that one blinder season and then he just disappeared into nothing.
So I would say it's going to be 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, well, I think hopefully they'll be playing Theo by then, and he's going to bring some serious pace. So I'm going to say 2-0.
Wow. That's double what Bolton.
It's double. Yeah. You guys?
We've got Maribor tonight.
Maribor.
Seeing as we're recording this on Wednesday, so... we've got Liverpool on Saturday or Sunday
weekend. I'm not sure.
So what do you think? Because last time we played Maribor, we beat them 6-0.
Yeah, I reckon we're playing away, and with the Liverpool game, I don't know if we'll rest players, but I think we'll take it a bit more easy. I think it's going to be 3-0.
Okay, I think the 6-0 was a bit of an anomaly. I think we also have been a bit leaky in defence lately, so I'm going to say 3-1 or 2-1.
Okay.
I don't know, but yeah, so. Another big game on the weekend,
Liverpool.
What do you think is going to happen? Liverpool haven't been in the greatest form.
So we're playing away, I think, as far as I remember. No. They haven't been in great form. I think we're going to win a 3-1.
Jeez. Okay. I think we have enough to beat them, especially if Costa's going to be playing. But with them resting like their entire flipping squad,
it's true.
You know, and us having a game like a day later than them, I don't know. Maybe it won't affect it at all. Maybe we'll still come up with blocks. I always just get nervous for the big games, you know. Even though I don't know if you can really still consider Liverpool a big game, but I don't know. Let me say 2-1. Let's say 2-1. So it's Liverpool.
Cool. Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks again, guys, for being here. You can catch this podcast on
redandblue.podomatic.com.
Thank you.
On the iTunes store, search Red and Blue Football,
and on Facebook.
On Facebook, you can go to Red and Blue Football.
Yeah,
find us on there and tweet us at Red and Blue Footy.
At Red and Blue Footy. Share it with your friends, with your gran, with your sister, with your sister's brother.
We're particularly popular amongst grans. I've been tracking the metrics. Yep. And it's the old age home down the road, geez, they are probably our biggest listeners.
I mean, we've got some good stuff to say. Mm. So there it is. Thanks for listening, and we'll chat to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Apparently, do you know how much it costs to fill up your tank, a normal tank of petrol in Saudi, in rand?
How much?
100 rand to fill up your tank in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mad, eh?
Yeah.
Person emailed.
How much does it cost to fill up your car, though?